إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. As to what follows, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek Allah's forgiveness, and we ask for Allah's assistance. Verily, whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because of some crookedness in them, then nobody can guide to the truth except Allah. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is simply His slave and His final messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon Him, His companions, and whomever follows them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Today's khutbah was pertaining to children and the rights of children. It's a very interesting topic, and perhaps the reason why the Shaykh is mentioning this subject matter in this time because of the summer vacation. And he mentioned that towards the end, because you know they go hand in hand. So do our children have some rights upon us? And if so, what are they? And how to carry them out, and how to make sure that we are fulfilling them? It's quite an obligation, and by the will of Allah, with the assistance of Allah, those who are seek help from Allah, they will be able to fulfill their duties. The Shaykh mentioned tracing back the rights of the children going way back, before the children ever existed, which is by choosing the proper spouse. So a man is expected to look for the righteous, pious woman whom will protect him regarding her honor by not making herself available for others besides her husband, and his wealth by not spending his money after he works hard all year and she spends it on curtains and carpets and being just totally negligent about the effort that the husband is putting in making this money. And likewise, he was advising his sisters to make sure that they also pick a man upon his religious duties, religiously committed, not a clown, not a joker, or somebody else along these lines. And the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, if a person comes to you, meaning the female, or if a person comes to you seeking your daughter, and he is upon his religious commitment, he is a good brother, with his character and with his deen, do not reject him, do not refuse him, because if you do so, there will be much corruption upon earth, which is the case, because that will make marriage complicated. Then people will go try to satisfy their needs outside of marriage, because a man can't afford to get married, because he has to get so much money for the dowry and so much money for this and that. So anyways, this is a common culture issue that they have here, but this is against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh advised that that needs to start over there. There's another thing he didn't mention, which probably a slip of a tongue or something, but I know because they've mentioned it in other books. Actually, some of the right of the children is a dua. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. As a supplication that one of us says prior to having a relationship with his wife. For those of you who are married, for those of you who are not married, there should be no relationship with anything. So you don't have to say the dua because you shouldn't be doing anything else. But for those of you who are married, then before you perform your job as a man, the Prophet ﷺ used to advise to say, Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytana ma razaqtana. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, he taught us, and he himself used to do this before you actually have the intercourse with your wife. Then you say, in the name of Allah, O Allah, protect us from the shaitan, from the devil, and protect that which might come about from this relationship from the shaitan also. Huh? Nah, yeah, you know, not necessarily. But the idea is that you make the supplication. And there's a lot of virtues in making this particular supplication, because as the narration mentions, you are asking Allah to protect you and your family or the seed that you might get from this particular relationship, and protecting him or her, the baby, from Satan and the evil of Satan. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. So that's the second, that's another right. Then there's a right for the child while he's in his mother's womb. That is, that you take care of his mother by being kind to her, by assisting her, by doing some of the house duties that she used to do, but now because of pregnancy and the difficulty to carry them out, a man is expected to come and be of assistance to his wife. Furthermore, to make sure that he is feeding her properly and clothing her and all the rights that a woman has upon her husband, so she is not to be left neglected during the pregnancy. This is, at the same time, it's considered right for that particular child, because the father is taking care of the one who is carrying the child. Alhamdulillah, كيف حالك حبيبي بارك الله فيك. الله أعلم. Anywho, so then the child has a right while in his mother's womb. Then the rights of the child continue after delivery. We have, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating in the Quran that the mothers are to breastfeed their children for 2 years. Tayyib, Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who recommended that a woman should breastfeed her child for 2 years. Not shockingly enough, they discovered in recent times, after they made a whole bunch of studies, that the best kind of nutrition for your child is his mother's milk. Not the one you get in a bottle, not the powder, not anything else. Furthermore, they advise that the time should be around 2 years. This is something Muslims have had 1400 years ago, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a doctor. Neither did he know about the details of how a child is supposed to be raised and what he needs to eat and so forth. Yet Allah has given us this command way back, yet now they discover in science that this is the most suitable thing. In the States, back in the United States, whenever we would go to this place called WIC, and it's a place where they help you take care of your children by different kind of ideas and things along these lines. All over the world, all they're doing is advising, breastfeed your child. Breastfeed your child. Don't rely on the other means of nutrition. And this is something that we were carrying out as Muslims. Not because the doctor told me, because Allah told me. Yet the doctor realized that this is the most suitable thing at the same time. Which is an indication that Islam has never went against any scientific fact. And this is what separates Islam from any other belief system. False belief system. Whatever revelation they claim they have with their hands, somehow, some way, it goes against some scientific fact, and they don't have no harmony. On the other hand, as Muslims, and the content that we have in the Quran, there hasn't been a single scientific fact that has been proven as fact that has went against the Quran. As a matter of fact, every time they discover something, and recently, then they look in the Quran, they find that Allah mentioned it 1400 years ago. And this is how a lot of these scientists became Muslims. Because they said, no way. No way anybody knew this. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the various stages of the human embryo in the mother's womb, how it is like a clot, like a chewed substance, and all the stages, and the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, things that nobody knew back then. They just discovered this after they came up with all these machinery and so forth. So when these doctors were told, look man, we've had this in Islam for 1400 years, they had no choice but to believe in Allah on the last day and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because they knew that nobody could have discovered this before. There was no such ways and means to do it. So this is a virtue of Islam. That we are always in accordance to whatever has been proven as a scientific fact. Not theories, facts. So anyways, the child has the right to be breastfed. One way or another. And furthermore, he has the right to be given love and nutrition and care and everything else that comes under this. This is why Anas radiallahu anhu said, The Prophet ﷺ used to be the best in character. He used to be the best in character, and he would, although he had a lot of responsibilities on his shoulder taking care of a whole nation, he would still be gentle and play with the children, his own children and the children of the companions. And Anas radiallahu anhu used to have a brother, a young brother, whose name was Abu Umair. And Abu Umair used to have a little bird, which was a pet, his own pet, and it died. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would see him, he would say, "Ya Abu Umair, Ya Abu Umair, ma fa'ala al-Nughair?" Oh, the father of Umair, which was his kunya, his nickname. What did the Nughair do? Try to ease him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, easing the boy from feeling bad, and try to play with him. And another occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given khutbah. He was addressing the people, and his grandchildren, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, came in. Both of them wearing a red shirt and falling, tripping every, you know, maybe the shirt was too long, so they kept tripping and getting up. So the Prophet ﷺ went off the minbar, where you stand and give the khutbah, I forgot the name, pulpit, whatever. And he went down and he picked them up. Then he got back on the minbar and he said, Allah has said the truth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Verily, Allah says in the Quran, verily your wealth and your children are a source of test for you. He says, Allah has said the truth. Verily, your children and your wealth are a source of fitna for you. I seen these two young boys coming in. I didn't have enough patience in order for me to finish my statement and get them. I had no choice but to get down and get them and pick him up and interrupted my own speech. Which is an indication of the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ and his kindness. And he wasn't negligent, or he was like, well, who are these two children, or whatever else and he would have done, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was caring even while he was addressing the Muslims and teaching them about the deen. And afterwards, after the child grows, of course, our main objective, each one of us, is to make sure that our children will go to the fire. And this is a very big deal. Because Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. O you who believe, protect yourselves and your family members from the hellfire, in which its fuel is going to be men and stones. And it has been prepared for the disbelievers. So we as Muslims need to ensure that our children are Muslims. And if your wife is a non-Muslima, she does not have the right to have the children non-Muslims. And if it is a wife, it is a woman who is a Muslima and she's married to a non-Muslim, which could never be the case, but you hear some wonders nowadays, the children also have to be Muslims. Either way, because this is not a joke. And it is not whether we're going to name him John or Joseph, or it's not about whether he's going to wear a red shirt or a green shirt. It's not something unimportant. This is his whole life and the outcome of his life and the hereafter. Whether he's going to be going to paradise or he's going to be tortured in the fire, it's a big deal. So our children need to be protected first and foremost, after we protect our own selves apparently, by making sure that they are brought up Islamically and teach them. And don't worry, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who told us in a narration that every son of Adam is born upon the natural inclination of Islam. Every child is born as a Muslim. It is verily his parents who either make him a Christian or a Jew or a pagan. Otherwise, children are born Muslims. This is why if a child dies prior to reaching puberty, even if he was a Christian, because his family are Christian, Allah will not hold him accountable. He will die as a Muslim, because he has not reached puberty. Because he was a Muslim in his own natural inclination, the way Allah created him. But it is the other outside elements that come and change. So they tell him, look, you gotta learn the Trinity. What is Trinity? It is to believe that God is one person, and the Son is one person, and the Holy Ghost is one person, but they're not three persons, they're one person. Now a child, he might just not digest this. Say, hold on a second. Did you say one person, one person, one person, three? Then you said they're all one person? I learned in school that a person is for singular and people is for plural. What happened? How did three become one? But I'm learning in math in school that three, one plus one plus one, Ma'akum Salam, equals three. You're telling me that one plus one plus one equals one. I don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But they say, it's a mystery. You have to believe it. So then they make him believe it, so he believes it. And then those whom Allah has mercy upon, like some of you brothers, when they reach a certain age, and now they understand, they say, hold on man, this doesn't make any sense to me. I don't care what the people told me. You know, something is wrong. Something is wrong with this equation. So then Allah guides those who use their minds into Islam. For those who like to stay with whatever they have because they like it too much, because life is too much fun, because they're not concerned about meeting Allah on the Day of Judgment, they keep it. Say, don't tell me nothing, man. It's good for me. I'm okay like this. Just don't worry. You go do Islam, me leave me alone. These are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them early for rejecting the truth by turning them away from the truth. And then they don't understand it. No worries, no worries. No problem, sir. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. That'd be 50 riyal fee. Anybody else? So anyways, so the children are born upon Islam. So if you have a young child, boy or girl, don't think it's going to be difficult to convince him, La ilaha illallah. It is something that is already there. All you're going to be doing is activating it. They're not going to argue with you because they don't know any better. But Allah created them believing in La ilaha illallah. Because that's the only thing that the mind accepts. Your mind can only accept that, okay, this universe is outstanding. It is very organized. I am very organized as a human being. And I'm part of the creation of this big organized function. There must be only one power controlling all of this. And it doesn't look like it's close to a human being. Because we are weak, deficient, full of emotions. We use the bathroom. We have some nasty things that we do. We have relationships with women. We bring children. Kind of a different race. The Creator cannot be the same in any shape or form. Because He created that. He made that. He is controlling that. So how is He going to be part of that? Or that's going to be part of Him? Your mind already understands this, that La ilaha illallah, there's no deity worthy of worship but Allah. Since you acknowledge that Allah is the Creator and the Sustainer and and all of the qualities that Allah has, then your mind will tell you that if there's anyone you need to ask guidance from, if there's anyone you need to worship, then it is the one who has done all this for you. And because He is so beautiful and perfect, because of everything else you see around you, you know He's going to be free from any deficiency, such as having children and girlfriends and wives and mothers and things along these lines, because these belong to humans. They don't belong to God, because God is divine. This is La ilaha illallah. This is what Islam teaches. And everybody else is teaching something else, which doesn't make sense. So alhamdulillah, we make sure that our children, inshallah, are well brought up as Muslims. And we teach them the basic things because Allah has already made it in them. All you have to do is make the effort. Don't leave them alone. They are your responsibility on the Day of Judgment. It is not just a voluntary act that you do. Wallah, maybe it's nice for me to give some invitation to Islam to my children or family. It is an obligation. You have to do it. Because you are responsible for them and you would not want your son to be thrown in the fire or your daughter. If you don't want it to happen in this world, don't let it happen in the hereafter. So we need to be very cautious on how we bring up our children. The Shaykh mentioned then afterwards,
giving best names.
Huh?
Giving best names.
Yes, barakallah feek. Allah yuhayyik. To give them a beautiful name. One of the rights of the children is that they are given a nice name. So you don't call him for real. Like, I was reading on the internet, some people in Australia or something, they had a child and they named him for real. And four beginning with the number four. Like, for real? So anyways, I was like, what are people doing, man? With your child. Hey, for real! Come over here! Anyways, as Islam, you don't give your child a name that people will make fun of him in the future. You give him a nice, beautiful name. And the Prophet ﷺ, in more than one occasion, found some people that have a bad name, and he changed their name. Like a woman, her name was Asiya, sinner. He said, no, you are Jamila. You are beautiful. Change your name from an ugly name to a pretty name. There was another brother's name was Harb, war. You know, he gave him another name. So the sunnah is that we give our children a beautiful name. And it is the sunnah also to name your children according to the names of the prophets. So you name your son Isa, Ibrahim, Nuh, Lut, Adam. All of these names are from the sunnah, because the Prophet ﷺ had a child and he said, today I was blessed with a child and I will name him according to the name of my father, Abraham. Meaning his father in prophethood, not his father. So he named his son Abraham, Ibrahim. So it is the sunnah. And the most beloved names to Allah are Abdullah and Abdurrahman. These are the most beloved two names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, regarding this, there's another thing that the Shaykh didn't mention, is to give aqiqah, to slaughter a sheep. If Allah gives you a son, then the sunnah is to slaughter two sheep. You slaughter two sheep and you distribute the meat on the poor, some of it. One third, the scholars put it this way, one third to the poor, one third for yourself, and one third you invite the people to eat from. You make a nice walima, a feast, and you cook some of it and you invite the people. It's means of thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given you. For a boy it's two, for a girl it's only one sheep. No, he didn't mention that. And the reason why I didn't mention that, because some of the scholars of the hadith have declared these particular narrations as weak. Now, these narrations are unauthentic. According to some scholars of hadith, some say that you call the adhan in his right ear and the iqamah in his left ear. But take off the hair. Now, shaving the hair on the seventh day. The sunnah is that you shave the hair on the seventh day, whether a boy or a girl. You weigh the hair and you give the equivalent of that in gold as charity, which is usually very little, unless they are born with a lot of hair, which is very far-fetched. And then you circumcise the boy. And in the hospital?
Yeah.
And for you older brothers, I know this is difficult, but now that you have become Muslims, it is very much advised that you get circumcised as well. If you didn't get this done in the past, I'm sorry for you, but you take an example from our father Abraham, who circumcised his own self, I believe at the age of 80. Okay, when Allah has given him the command to do so. It's a little pain. I mean, I'm not trying to make... this is... Don't run away. Okay, it's advised that you do it, inshallah. If you are able to do so, yani, there's a lot of benefits for that. I'm not going to go into detail of that. Maybe some sisters will hear this later, then they're going to be very mad at me. So anyways, it's irrelevant. But you get the child is to be circumcised, usually at the age of 7. Nowadays they do it in the hospital right away. And other things that pertain, it's a whole other discussion that we need to have. Well, the 7th day is the sunnah. Naam, is that... Aqiqah, we just mentioned it, they're not slaughtering the two sheep. Nah. Yes, inshallah, nah. The earlier the better, as the brother mentioned. At the end, this is too long. At the end, the Shaykh basically, after he sat down, and you know this is sunnah, the khutbah is of two portions. You say whatever you say, you sit down, you get up again, you praise Allah, send peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, then you continue. And the second portion, he was advising us regarding the summer vacation, some of the things that we could do for our children, get him involved in a halaqah to memorize the Quran. There's a lot of these rings in the masajid where your son or daughter could go and memorize the Quran, get them to learn something constructive, have some family time, recite some Quran to them, teach them some of the tafsir, teach them the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make sure that they don't have bad company, make sure that they utilize this vacation by doing things which will get them closer to Allah. And a general advice from the brother regarding us and our children, not to, whenever we have a summer vacation, you're not having a vacation from Allah. And you're not having a vacation from your duties as a Muslim. Our duties as Muslims don't have any days off. Unless you are in a coma, then Allah will not hold you accountable. When you are asleep, Allah will not hold you accountable. When you forget, Allah will not hold you accountable. Otherwise, we have duties to fulfill all year around. Why? So when we die, we don't have to do nothing anymore. And we don't have to suffer anymore. And we don't have to worry anymore. Whereas, you have a lot of fun now, and you come on the Day of Judgment, you'll have a lot of stuff to worry about. The only difference is it's too late. It'll be too late to come back, and you will not be able to change it. This is more or less the idea of the khutbah. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His mercy and His love and care that He has for His believing servants to bless all of you brothers with a righteous seed and righteous children who will be a source of pleasure of your eye and will be means for you to protect it from the fire and permit it to Jannah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy and forgiveness upon us all and to have us leave this room without even a single sin written against us.
Now,
the brother is reminding us of a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ who said, when the son of Adam dies, everything else goes away. His deeds are cut off except from three things. The first thing is sadaqah jariyah, a recurring charity. When you give a charity that people keep benefiting from. The second kind of thing that will remain for you after you die is your knowledge that people benefit from. I'm sorry, Habibi, it's a hadith. It's knowledge that people benefit from. So for example, you write a book or you record a lecture and people keep listening to it after you die for years and years and years. While you're in your grave, your deeds are increasing because of beneficial knowledge that you have left behind. And the last one is a righteous child making supplication for you. A good believer asking Allah to forgive you. This is one of the things that you leave behind after you pass away. So among them, as the brothers are reminding us, is a righteous child. Which is an encouragement for us to make sure that our children are righteous individuals who love Allah, whom Allah loves, and who will remind us of Allah whenever we are forgetful, inshallah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. No, very good question. There's something in Christianity called the original sin.
Yeah.
That you inherit. MashaAllah. It doesn't make any sense. Ya akhi, where is the justice of Allah? You're a human being. You were born. Nobody gave you a choice. Here you come to this world, you already have a burden of a sin on you. I didn't do anything. On the other hand, Allah teaches in the Quran, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul shall carry the burden of another one. You are not responsible for what Adam alayhi salam did in Jannah, in paradise, by eating from the tree. This is something he did. We are on earth born with nothing, no sin against us. Okay? So we don't carry this burden of somebody else. We carry our own burden. You are responsible for your own actions. And you will make some sins. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, every son of Adam is a sinner. So we will sin because of our nature. But then he said, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّئِينَ التَّوَّبُونَ. And the best among those who sin are those who repent to Allah. So we will sin. Yes, but we have repentance. We will sin because of our own personal sin, not because what we carry from somebody else. And furthermore, if we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't have nothing against us. Okay? So it's a very fine line between what they believe and what we believe. They believe you were born with sin, it is upon you, and somebody came and died for you. So you really don't have to do anything anymore. All you gotta do is get drunk, have a few girlfriends, get high, hey, life is good. Why? Jesus, man on the cross, He died for me because He loves me, because He cares for me. No, akhi, we don't have this kind of crazy stuff in Islam. No, you gotta take care of your own self. If you wanna be taken out of the fire, you better do some work. Have you ever been to school? and all he did in school was play in the class the whole time and laugh, and then at the end they gave you an A, said thank you and go to the next grade? La wallah. You are a clown, they kick you out of the class. They give you a failing grade. Say why? Say man, you were playing. Look at these people, they were studying, working hard, exerting themselves, doing the homework. You came here trying to be a clown only, and now you want to pass like them? Your mind wouldn't accept it. But somebody will gamble with Allah about his whole life and his afterlife with the same mentality that in this life you wouldn't accept. You say, no man, you gotta earn this. I'm not gonna give you this money. You have to earn this money. You gotta work for me to give you a paycheck. You don't come to work, then I give you money. I'm crazy. So nobody died for you. Nobody is already got your sins forgiven through him. Each one of us is responsible for his own actions. But we have the mercy of Allah and his forgiveness, which encompasses everything. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive every single time as long as we repent to him. And even if we die as sinners, if Allah wants on the Day of Judgment, if we die as believers, Allah might forgive all of your sins with nothing in return. Why? Because Allah wants to. Why? Because Allah's forgiving. But why? Because you died as a believer. And because you admitted that you were a sinner. Oh Allah, I am a sinner. I did commit sins. But I'm helpless. And you seek Allah's forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive all of your sins if you die as a believer. Whereas to believe that somebody came and died for you, this is un-Islamic and there's no such thing as original sin. Everybody is born clean. Then you live your own life according to what you want.
The child dies in infancy, he is already
among the people of paradise, yes. That's why we mentioned earlier, if you die before puberty, you'll be among the people of paradise. If you were born with original sin, then you will have to carry the sin, you're not going to go to paradise. But you go, the children who die without any accountability, they go to paradise, inshallah. Khalas? Okay. That's a very good question. Jihad. It's a very sensitive subject. And people have traveled to do different paths. You have the ones who say that jihad is not part of Islam. And those are the people who are usually scared. They say, no, no, Islam, there's no jihad, there's no such thing as jihad, no, 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 don't ever say this, it scares people away, dara, 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 di. These are one extreme. There's the other extreme, who makes jihad everything, and makes jihad against those who deserve jihad, and those who don't deserve jihad, children, wives, women, they kill everybody. And this is not jihad. The Prophet ﷺ gave da'wah for 13 years in Mecca. Tayyib, he was having problems with his own people. The Jews and the Christians came together as one against Muhammad ﷺ. So did the polities of Quraysh. So did people from other cities and from other countries. Everybody wanted to destroy Muslims and Islam. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow them to do anything. They were not allowed to retaliate. Even when the Prophet ﷺ was insulted, even when they threw rocks at him and they made him bleed and they tried to kill him and they tried to assassinate him 13 times. Yet Allah never allowed the Muslims to do anything in return. They were commanded to be patient and to increase their faith. Yet when they reached a certain level of faith, and the disbelievers were trying their best to destroy Islam, then the Muslims were allowed to defend themselves. And this is what jihad is. It is for the truth to be protected by power, because you need power to protect the truth. And it is for people to protect their own honor and dignity. Regardless of your religion, regardless of your religion, if you're staying at home and a thief walks into your house, and he beats you up, and then he ties your wife, and he tries to rape her, do you tell him here's the other cheek? Say, hold on, I have my daughter, come. Which is this mentality that the Christians try to do, love, love, love. They try to put everything in, God is loving, God is loving, God is loving. They don't even read the Bible. They don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Bible commanded that the Jews go and destroy everybody among a certain nation. He said, destroy the woman and the children, the sheep and the ox and the donkeys, don't leave nothing. It is in the Bible where the Jews were commanded to fight against the disbelievers. So the idea here that we have as Muslims is that jihad is part of Islam in order for us to protect our dignity, our honor, and for people not to come and stamp on us like we are a carpet. But it is not to be misused like people are misusing it right now. You understand what I'm saying? So if somebody's going to come to your house, you have the right to protect yourself. Say, hey man, what are you doing over here? Get out. So when the Muslims were being attacked and they would try to be murdered by those who were disbelievers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the permission to defend themselves. But Allah would remind us in the Quran, but if they turn towards peace, then turn towards peace. If they want to surrender, then don't oppress them. And the Shaykh mentioned in the khutbah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would send an army group, to another people, whenever they were engaged in jihad, he said, do not trick people. Do not exaggerate. If somebody dies like the disbelievers do to Muslims now, like the Americans are doing to the Iraqis, he kills him, then he urinates on him. And you know that Bush said that first he got the acceptance of two cardinals or two Christian priests or whatever, who gave him the approval that this is a crusade. Yani he has the Christian backup that what they're doing to kill Muslims is an act of worship. And Bush said that God told him that what he's doing is fulfilling some obligation of Christianity. And the Philippines was a Muslim land until the Christians came up in there and they forced people to enter into Christianity after killing most of them. And you know your history of your own country. But they don't ever tell you this was jihad. They say, no, the Christians, it's okay for doing. But if a Muslim tries to defend his own self, they say, look at this jihadi. So you have to understand the propaganda and the lies that lie in between. So there's rules. You don't oppress people. You don't kill people. You don't kill children. You don't put a bomb in a building and kill everybody in it. Say, this is for the sake of Allah. You must be crazy, man. Who's in the building? It could be your aunt, your uncle. It could be Muslims, it could be innocent people, Christians or Jews who are not in a state of war with you. You can't just kill people like that. But you are allowed to. If these people want to come and say, okay, look man, we carry the cross, we're going to come kill you Muslims, then you say, alright man, we want to get in business, we get in business. It is Allah's deen. It is the truth from Allah, it has to be dominant. So there's a fine line, this needs a discussion on its own. But I want you to be understanding of this fact, because you will find that in the Quran Allah deals with battles and with the Muslims defending ourselves. So you will not be shocked, say, oh, they told me that there's no jihad in Islam. There is jihad in Islam, but it is within guidelines. There has to be a person in charge of the Muslims who commands, and people have to command them. But not every time a few people feel like doing something, then they go and carry it out in the name of Islam and they put a mask on their face and carry a machine gun and boom 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 and grenades and kill people and cut off their heads on TV, on the internet. Prophet ﷺ never did this. When he actually conquered Mecca, when he came back to Mecca after they kicked him out and they oppressed him, and he came with thousands of brothers, and now the Meccans knew that they are in trouble. Because if the Prophet ﷺ wanted to destroy them, he could have. They said, what are you going to do to us? He says, go. Go. May Allah forgive you. He didn't want no revenge. He didn't want any personal revenge. He let them all go. Because it wasn't about shedding blood. But if the truth has to be protected by some power, the same way when you have money, you put it in a, what do you call that? Safe. You don't just leave the money outside. Truth is valuable. There has to be some forces to protect it. So people will not come and stab into it. But there are guidelines that need a separate discussion, inshallah. But what you see people doing right now in the name of Islam as jihad is not jihad. Because jihad is not random acts that people carry out on their own. It is something that has to be organized. The same way countries in World War I and II, what do you think people were doing? Germany versus this country, people were killing, man. There were millions of people died. But nobody ever says anything. It's okay. It's for money, for oil, for stuff like that, no problem. But when a person does it for the sake of Allah, they say he's a murderer. He's a criminal. See? They change the truth according to what is suitable for them. but the truth of Allah is ever dominant. In this particular case, according to the scholars, if you are in your land and disbelievers come into your land insulting you, degrading you and throwing you out, then jihad becomes an obligation on each individual to defend yourselves and your family, which is something you would do whether you are Muslim or not. You're not going to let anybody kill your family, are you? You will not. So you are to defend yourself. But look what the Palestinians are doing. Hamas fighting with Fatah. Two Muslims groups killing each other. It's crazy, man. While the Jews are sitting there kicking back, saying, man, look, let these people kill each other.
If they didn't stop the jihad, they all die.
If they stopped jihad a long time ago, there would be no more Palestine. It would have been Israel and the Masjid al-Aqsa, which is one of the three holiest masajid in Islam, where Jesus, peace be upon him, where Abraham, and where the Prophet ﷺ led the other prophets in Salah, it would have been under the care and under the control of the Jews. But somebody has to defend the truth. The jihad issue is a very sensitive issue and it needs to be discussed with care. We don't want to travel to either extremes because some people get too scared and they eliminate jihad from Islam, and some people don't understand what jihad is and they say, man, no, you can't be doing anything. All you have to do is kill the disbelievers. So a man is walking down the street, they kill a Christian because he's a Christian. What about giving him da'wah? When did the Prophet ﷺ kill people just walking by or blow up people? Never. But people, Muslims, unfortunately have gone away from the teachings of Islam. Have strayed away from the book, the Quran and the Sunnah. So they start to exercise their own intellect, which sometimes they're not that intellectual. And then they wind up causing more damage than good to the Muslims. And all we have to do is say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, for what these people make Islam look like. But regardless of all that, people still enter into Islam. Because people understand that Islam is something and what the people do as Muslims is something else. And we are not to judge the truth by what the people who are supposed to carry the truth are doing. So we take our knowledge from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you will find that this kind of jihad that people are doing today has nothing to do with what is in the Quran and the Sunnah. I think the brother has a class, man. I'm sorry, Sheikh.
No.